The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2016 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2016. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at accsedu.org.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, I did spend quite a bit of time up in Stibnite, actually. My wife and I lived, Yellow Pine. Stibnite is a little bit further in still, and that's where my wife and I lived when we were mining up there. And we were there from, it was May of 1989 till November 4th, and that was the day we finally left. I still remember that date. I'll never forget it because it was probably one of the most difficult places I've ever lived in my life. We had one telephone, 200 people, had a man camp up there, and everybody would go down to Yellow Pine to party in the evenings. And I wasn't a Christian then, but I didn't go down there. I stayed away because there were two businesses in that area, and they would get into fights with each other, and I wanted to stay clear of that. There was actually a gun battle one night, and from what I understood, no one was arrested. They just shook it off and went their own ways, so it was quite the place. Yes, I'm here to speak to you today about our business and how building your business the right way can put a Christian focus on it, or at least you could put things in place that would allow you to have a Christian focus. So the topic is leadership, a path to living out our faith in business. Before I do start, I want to give you a little bit of my testimony. The year was 1998, and I had been part. I won't mention the religions that I was involved in. I had been involved in two different ones throughout my life, and the second one that I was involved with was somewhat cultic. I didn't know that, but I think after a period of time of realizing that I was never going to make it to heaven, I started getting this sense that the Holy Spirit wanted me to go back to this particular church. And so I felt strongly that it was the true church. I felt strongly that it was the only way. And in order for me to get out, the grace of our good Lord said, Chris, you need to go back there to get out of it. Just so happened that the pastor that was teaching there was not teaching the beliefs of that church. He was teaching the true gospel. And about 8 or 9 months after that, I had gone there and got to know him. And he helped deprogram me, so to speak. We all left the church. Many of us did. He taught us for about 8 or 9 months. We went through kind of a deprogramming. Then he left and said, go find yourself Bible-believing churches. So in order for me to get out, God had to bring me back in to get me out. So he really meets you where you need to be met. I'm from a company that has been in business for over 100 years. We were founded in 1907. We did construction work, highway heavy construction, got into mining over the years, did all kinds of different things. And in 1997, the commodity markets tanked. And our business, we had about 70% of our business stopped immediately. And so our parents were starting to retire at that time, and I have a brother and four other cousins that are involved in the business. And we had a number of good other employees working for us. And so when that happened, we decided to re-engineer our business. Our parents had retired. We didn't know who to look up to anymore for answers because our parents were gone, and we had to look to ourselves. And at that moment, we decided to re-engineer. We shut everything down. We sold all of our heavy equipment and started to focus on what we knew best, and that was to build great relationships with clients and treat them honestly and fairly. And so we decided to put a business plan together to do that for the wind turbine market. And so today we're the largest installer of wind turbines in the United States and Canada. But the whole way for us to get there was through some of the processes that I'm going to speak to today. So, I had three topics here. One is business is the ministry, and so when I look at even a ministry has a business aspect to it, Even your schools have a business aspect to them. So there's a necessity to run and manage the business itself. The second topic is, can business leadership include a Christian focus? And the third is applying Christian principles to lead your company. So as for business to be the ministry, we have to look at a process or a program that engages employees. One that offers training opportunities, team opportunities, and corporate group opportunities. One that engages the clients, and in your case would be parents, I would assume, and students, right? And we have to have interactive relationships, clients that see you and your business. We have to engage the business itself. Has anybody heard the topic, working on the business versus working in the business? Have you heard that before? In our business, working on the business is building the business so it functions and provides the services that our business does. So we build wind turbines, we do construction, that'd be working in the business. Building processes and procedures and putting values and strategic plans in place would be working on the business. And we have to build a business that engages the community. And we don't look at our business as a business that just does and builds things for ourselves. We are supporting local schools in our communities and trying to help the businesses thrive and support some of the volunteer groups that are in the communities as well. That's an extremely important aspect. We provide a service. We provide jobs for people and careers for employees as well. And those careers then filter back into the businesses and the societies that we work. So if you're, as you're looking at your schools and you're providing services or you're providing a resource or you're providing an education for students, those students are going to eventually take those into the communities. And so these are important. So as I'm looking at it from our business aspect, we provide support for the schools, local business, and helping the others that are less fortunate as well. So where does the glory belong? I want to say this before I really get underway, is that the glory belongs to Christ. We must take the responsibility for our own evil actions, but everything else belongs to the Lord. He said, we have been bought with a price, and Jesus has done everything for us. There's nothing that I have, and there's nothing that I've been given that I have not been given. My education, my experiences, the place in society where I've been put by the Lord, the place where God's putting you right now. We're never guaranteed success as believers, and that's the other point. We as a company have had great success, but this is not a prosperity gospel. God gives and he takes away, and as a believer, we aren't guaranteed anything. And so I want to make sure I get that point out. In Proverbs 16:9, it says that our choices have consequences. Basically, it says the Lord guides us, our steps, but we make choices. And so there's many choices that you and I can make as believers that would be guided by the Lord, that would be good directions to take from the Lord. We are not children anymore, that we need to be hand-fed. The Lord offers us many opportunities and many choices to make that can take us in different directions that the Lord will bless as long as they're right. And I must allow him to use my choices in any way. All right. I want to start out by Scripture. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. You ask you to give a reason for the faith and the hope that you, a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Everyone who asks, we have to do this. We have to build our businesses. We have to build our school businesses in a way that is going to cause people to ask why we're doing the things we do. In our business, we have sets of values. We have we have strategic plans, and we have certain processes in which we do our business. And if we do it, if we do them and build them in such a way, where my hope is that people will ask why we're doing these things and wonder why we're doing these things. So we want to make sure that we do this and provide opportunities for people to ask. In Exodus 18, 13 through 27, I want to read that piece of scripture. Exodus 18, 13 through 27. it says here, this is a visit that Moses received from his father-in-law, Jethro. It says, "The next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning until evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone as judge while all these people stand around you from morning until evening?' Moses answered, 'Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws.' Moses' father-in-law replied, 'What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and the laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judge for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands you, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied.' Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said." Now, there's not just organizational structure in those verses. There's much more than that in there. There's delegation. I have these up on the board. There's delegation to help make others' loads lighter. There's identified trusted leaders. Moses took the constructive criticism to heart. He also recognized that he cannot go it alone. There was a set of moral guidelines to teach them values. He was holding them accountable. He sought out and interviewed people capable for the tasks. And the point is large businesses can lead and be managed when intentional leadership and controls are in place. The other point regarding businesses is in Acts 17, Paul is speaking at in Athens, and he's in the main marketplace sharing the gospel. And he's sharing it with the people that were the intelligent people of the day. So it would have been a main thoroughfare of people. So he's directly in the marketplace dealing with these issues and talking to people about these very issues. We're called by God to communicate these things, even in business settings. In Proverbs 1:20-21 says, "Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech." So we're called to be public about these things, but we're also called to be wise about how we do them. Now, how do you do this as a business? How do you try to put these things in place so you offer the opportunity and open up avenues for these types of communications with employees? As an organization, we did a number of things. We set up a set of core purposes and values. We had a good strategic plan, and we had good interpersonal skills focuses. We developed what is called a peak leader model, and I'll show you this shortly. We developed a fit and performance model, and we established a specific direction for our culture. And our president put together a list of personal guides for corporate success. What you're looking at here is the purpose statement for our organization. You're looking at what we call our Blattner basics. It was the 10 things that we decided must be done in order for us to have success in a business. I know some of the print is a little bit small. I didn't expect everybody to copy it off. I just wanted to show that there was a pattern to this. We identified sets of values around leadership, legacy of learning. We had to have people continue to learn in order for them to, for the business to progress. And we had to have corporate success, so there would be personal success for everyone as well. And we had to develop our goals and values around a set of character rules that everybody needed to follow. And so we held everybody accountable to that. These here need to be posted in a business, not just at the entrance of your business, but they need to be given, handed to each person, and set on their desk so they never forget them. We found that the more we talked about them, the more they got into the heads of everybody, the more you could open up discussions about them. When you're having issues with employees and accountability issues, we would be able to use these. For example, how does that fit with this Blattner basic? Instead of trying to argue a point, we had direct connection to going back to the values and the purpose of the business. So that when people were found to be not wanting to live up to these values or live in this character environment, we had something we could go back and hold them accountable to. It wasn't about getting people in trouble, though. It was about teaching them and helping them understand what this all meant so that they could live in a work environment and have a set of controls around what they did, because total freedom, as you know today, only creates chaos. If you don't have some borderline around the values of your organization or your school, people will feel free to do whatever they want, and they'll take you in many different directions. I don't have a board up here, but I'm going to try and develop a pictogram. Let's say if I had a board up here, I drew a circle like this, and I drew an arrow in the direction we wanted our organization to go. And let's say I drew another arrow up, another arrow down, and then I drew another arrow right along that line that we wanted our organization to go, but it was off by just maybe a little bit. Which would be the most dangerous person if these arrows represented people? Which would be the most dangerous person in that business? Pardon? The one that was off a little bit is exactly right. They're the most dangerous person. They're going to take you far away, and they're going to create factions within the business, and they're going to try and steer you in the wrong direction. You won't even know it until it's too late. And so that's exactly right. So having a set of purpose, a set of basics, a set of values in your schools or in the business administration of your schools is important to have, and have them published everywhere. The next topic that I wanted to bring up is in our business, as an employee moves into higher leadership roles, they need to have greater and greater interpersonal skills. In the construction market, is what I'm showing here, there's a need for high skill level in the field level, but less and less skill level in the executive levels. And managers need to have some field level skills and management skills near the executive level. The interpersonal skills are some of the most important skills when you're running a large organization. And so we did training around helping people have better interpersonal skills, how they're working with others, how they're getting along with people, how they are working with the owners and the clients. We trained our people around this peak leader model. Now, this isn't the only leadership model out there. There's many others out there. But this particular model is one that's been used in the construction industry, and it's one that we help the construction industry develop. But the point I'm trying to make here is there's two key components here. There's two of these eight. There's only two that hold up 75% of the weight of exceptional leaders. Does anybody want to give a guess as to which two those are? What's that? excuse me, the eight that are circling the outside, which one of those two would have the most... I hear a set direction. Motivate and inspire. A few others out there. The two that have the highest weight are lead within and focus on others. Knowing yourself, leading yourself, guiding yourself, knowing who you are, getting comfortable with who you are in your own skin, and then focusing on others. As we get into, as we got into more focus on leadership in our business, the need became more and more important to focus on the success of our other employees and take less of the, most of the focus off of ourselves, to focus on them and see how we could help them become more successful. And the more we did that, the more they liked working for the business, the more they realized that maybe we were genuine in what we were saying to them, the more they realized that, yeah, maybe they do care about us more than they care about themselves. And so those were the two. It's not that the others aren't important. You have to get things done. You have to motivate and inspire people. But those two were the areas where great and exceptional leaders rank. Now, I just met with an individual this morning who was working for our company that helped develop this. He doesn't work for us anymore. He works, he has a leadership company that he's working with now. And this particular wheel diagram that we have here had approximately 20 to 30,000 data points in here pointing to those two as being the most important, the lead within and focusing on others. Well, he's now been working with another company that has over 9 million data points. And he said, believe it or not, those two are still the most important thing. 9 million data points. So that reaffirmed us. It reaffirmed his belief in this whole thing as well. So we train people around this peak leader model. It's actually a two-day training session. We train around each one of these. We teach them the focus on leadership. We try to help them understand what it means to lead within and understand what it means to focus on others. So in a business, you need to have good coaching and consistent coaching, not just once a year job reviews. In our business, we started doing it quarterly, and actually have tried to move into a monthly coaching program where we can continually focus on the people that are working in our business. It shows that they are happy because we're not waiting till the end of the year to give them feedback on things that they could be improving themselves on, and they're actually getting better as a result. We've raised the level of professionalism in our business. I can't even begin to explain where our business was in 1997 when the commodity markets tanked to where it is today. It's not even the same business. It's completely different. Completely different. Professionalism is up quite a bit higher. We have less cussing and swearing in the construction industry. We have more people focused on the client and the people that are working for them. It never was like that when I was growing up in the business. It's just unbelievably different. This is a performance model diagram that we use in the business. Has anybody read the book Good to Great? A number of you have. Okay, so from what I understand, a number of you come out of businesses, so you understand what I'm talking about. The book Good to Great talked a lot about getting the right people on the bus and the wrong people off the bus, so you're familiar with that. It talked about different levels of leadership, level 4 leadership versus level 5 leadership. Level 4 leadership was a general with 1,000 helpers. Level 5 leadership was an individual who was probably not well known in the industry, very humble individual, but was focused and driven on continuing the organization and building a legacy that would last way after they're gone. And so this fit and performance model that I'm showing you is used to hold people accountable in our business, to explain to people how we look at individuals in the business. If you look on the far left side, performance goes from low to high, so an individual who's performing in the business versus the low to high fit, comparing how an individual fits in the business, somebody who understands the values and lives the values. And so the point that this makes here is that you can have a high performance model individual with very low fit, doesn't work well with others, maybe even shady in how they do business. We needed to get them in the book of degree talks about off the bus. We get them off the bus, get them out of the organization as quickly as possible. And it was very hard for us because some of our really good performers in the early years had very low fit. And we had to make some really tough decisions. Are we really going to live this model out? And so we chose to do it. And when we chose to do that, everybody else in the organization said, well, maybe they are going to make these kinds of changes. The people that were good fit realized that maybe we weren't, it wasn't all about the money. It wasn't all about the money. It's also about developing, you know, good values, and we're serious about the corporation and the continuation of the business. And so this model is used quite a bit. Jim Collins says there are five characteristics of right people. They share core values. They can act for themselves and do not need to be managed. They have the potential to one day be the best in the industry in the current position. And they understand the difference between holding a job and having a responsibility. They would be rehired if given the chance to do it all over again. And so I look at, in scriptural, as I became a Christian, I was involved in helping develop all these things. Now, not everybody in our business has become a Christian. My brother, who's the president of the company, is not. I have two cousins that are. I don't think my brother's that far off, though. I'm praying for him. And I think in the old days, the Pharisees were the culture robbers of the day. And Jesus was kicking them off the bus. They had enough of them. They were steering everybody in the wrong direction. Here is another slide that we use, that I used in orientations. And I thought it was a very good slide to get people thinking and hopefully getting them to ask me questions about why I thought these things or why we believe these things. We in the construction industry, there's a lot of need for safety. And so I usually pulled this out when I was doing the safety part of the orientation. And I wanted them to think about how they needed to care for other people. And I would ask them these questions. Where do you come from? Who are we? You know, why is the world the way it is? Where are we going? And what is good and evil? You know, are there absolutes in life? What is true and what is false? And what happens when one dies? And the people that had no value or believed in so-called evolutionary things, where it's time plus matter plus chance, and if it's like, yeah, I got to get to the top of the ladder and that's all that's important to me, this opened the door for them to ask questions about why I thought that this was important to ask. We had four employees come in to work one day. They all traveled from different parts of the country, came in for their orientation. They were there. Usually orientation was about a week long, and they were there for 3 days, all four of them. And when I was in the room, they treated me really well. But when our administrative people were in the room, they treated them like dogs. And we had the open policy. They went right to the president of the company, who was my brother, and they said to him, I'm not sure that these people fit the organization because this is what they're saying to me when you're not in there. That same day, we packed all four of them up, sent them on a plane, and sent them all back home. We didn't hire one of them. They'd shown their colors by how they were treating our administrative help. Our administrative people, we're all people. We're different levels, but that doesn't make us at different levels human-wise. And so it was an eye-opener. And we use that example to this day in our annual meetings. And that's especially for new hires. We want them to know that. This is a little bit too small, but I'm going to read some of the points off of here. This is a document that my brother, the president of the company, put together, and we hand this out to our employees. It's your guide to personal and corporate success in the business. And he goes through a number of things. So I'll just read some of these off. Character sets the foundation by which others will follow. Managing is consistency for better results. There's two acronyms we use in our business. One is POC, P-O-C. One is SAM, S-A-M. POC is for managing, plan, organize, and control. SAM is for leadership, set, direction, align, and motivate. Success comes from disciplined people, disciplined thought, taking disciplined actions. Be passionate about your work. If you are not, you are in the wrong position or job. Without passion, you cannot help push the corporate flywheel of forward progress with for success. Attitude is everything. Your people will follow your lead. Leaders are thinking three steps ahead all the time. Leaders never complain down the hierarchy about their organization. They take their complaints up the hierarchy with proposed solutions. One thing in our business that I could not stand is when somebody would come and complain to me about somebody else. And I would stop them immediately and I would say, okay, we're going to get that somebody else in here and we're going to talk about this. And that really stopped the complaining. And most of them were afraid to say what they were thinking about the others. It's not that I didn't want them to talk. I wanted them to. But if they're going to tell me, they better tell them as well. Leaders don't have time to complain. Leaders commit themselves to the continuous learning and growth. We have to be learning all the time. There's new ideas out there. There's new ways of doing business. There's new ways to run. There's new ideas out there on how to run your business and how to help people walk through. So we have to keep learning and reading. Build strength upon strength, not weaknesses. We focus more of our time on coaching our better employees than we did the ones that weren't so good. Because the ones that weren't so good probably didn't belong. And that doesn't mean they can't be raised up. And we did coach them. We coached them. But we have to take it in the right perspective. If you're going to be successful, you have to focus more on the people that are the better employees. The ones that aren't as good, they can get up there, but they have to show their desire to do so. Or they may be in the wrong business, and that's okay too. And when we would help people identify that, if they had very good fit but low performance, we tried to move them to different seats on the bus to give them opportunity. But if that didn't work, it really was much better for us to ask them to leave, to help them leave. And we never just, a person like that, we never just fired on the spot. We always tried to help steer them in a direction and gave them some help and gave them pay that would help get them through their time away from the business. And so they could go on and do the things that were probably more fitting to their personality. And the final thing that he put on here, this is why I still have hope for him, as a follower of Christ, is that he said, great leaders find spiritual strength and guidance in connection with God. And this is actually on a corporate document. So these kinds of things are important to have. And if you're running the business and you're the one developing the ministry or the school business documents, you can, well, obviously in a Christian school setting, you can put these things on there, right? So I'm kind of speaking to the choir here about that. Establish a purpose, establish a set of values. As Christians, we know what's right, what the right things are. Don't lie, cheat, or steal, and don't tolerate those who do. Set your values to reflect what Jesus taught. When I put up John 30 here, John 30, we have to have a purpose. We have to have a reason why we're in business. And I just decided to pull up John 30 here because this is the reason why his gospel was written. John 30 says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, you may have life in his name. That's the whole purpose of his book was written. So what's the purpose of what your school business plans are written for? What's the purpose of what you're doing for this in the school? Hire people that want to strive for the purpose and agree on the values. Build a good strategic plan. Have a strategic plan that has goals, strategies that will achieve those goals, action plans that will achieve those strategies, and then measures that will help you know that you're actually achieving these things. And do not create action items that you'll never intend to follow through or can never possibly complete. And don't create 20 goals. Create 3 or 4 goals that you know you can accomplish. Don't give yourselves too much to do because there's plenty to do out there already. And in our business, we said we got to know what we're saying no to because we can't do everything. We don't have the funds to do everything. Even in a business, we don't have the funds to do everything. And in your school environments, you don't have the funds to do everything. Do the things that you can do. Put off to the side the things that you want to do in the future and plan for those for your next strategic planning discussion. Be focused on the success of your employees. Ask what you can do to help them do their jobs better, create consistent meetings, and share the vision with them and give them a voice. We have an executive team that met weekly. We had a lower level management team that met weekly. We had a monthly managers meeting where we brought all our project managers into the business and we talked to them and shared with them what we were doing and shared with them what our plans were, what our strategic goals were. They need to know what's going on or they're going to continue to flounder. So you need to share these things with everybody who's working in your business. If you want to all go in the same direction and know who you are and who God created you to be. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Know who you are in your own skin. Are you in the position that fits you, that God has placed you in? Are you trying to put a square peg in a round hole? And if you are, try and find the right person to fill that position. I was probably 44, 45 years old when I finally became comfortable about who I was, my own skin. I started working for a business when I was 14. I'm 53 years old. And I was always doing what I thought my dad wanted me to do. And I wasn't until in my 40s until I realized, no, I need to do what I want to do, what God made me to do. And so I started reapplying these principles and looking at these things differently. And I've a year and a half ago, I actually left the business. I'm still a stockholder of the business. I go to board meetings, but I don't work there full time anymore. I've been spending more time with the Robbie Zacharias ministry, and I'm a board member there as well. And so I really enjoy that. I think it fits me better. But I can carry business principles to the ministry because their ministry needs help in operation as well. And I think all ministries do. Many ministries don't run very well because we're putting our pastor in charge to do something that a business person is really supposed to be doing. And so we can't put that weight on our pastors either. With that, I'd like to open up for questions. If anybody has any questions for me about the business or anything at all, I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes? That PowerPoint? Let me ask. Because I've used this. These are business materials. I'm not sure I can copy those. But I'll stay in contact with David and see if that's possible. Any others? Yes. Yes. Well, actually, any of his Built to Last, Good to Great, those were the influential ones. We actually did a book study with that one. I would say those are probably the most influential. Now, if you look at Good to Great, you'll see there's a lot of businesses that are no longer in business in that book. However, the principles, I don't think those principles really change a whole lot. So that's the one we still hand that book out to all of our new employees. We require them to read it, and we have discussions with them about it. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, we have. All of our projects are given a budget to help the local communities, and we allow them to work within that budget. We had a project. Well, it had to come up to the organization executive level for approval, and one job actually did it on their own. We do a lot of food shelf fundraising. We had some people do a lot of work for the Oklahoma tornadoes a couple of years ago. We had a project out there, and we had quite a bit of heavy equipment that we offered, and we went and helped some people clean their houses. We went and built some houses one weekend with our carpentry teams. And so those are things that we do, but we do have budgets set on the projects to allow for those kinds of things to happen. Any others? Well, thank you. I hope that you got something out of this. I just pray for the success of your schools, and I really commend you for what you're doing. And my daughter actually went to the St. Cloud Christian School, which is not part of these schools, but they are important. And my wife and I support two students at Hope Academy in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So are there other people from Minnesota here? Anybody? You're from Minnesota? Okay. All right. Well, thank you.